for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
What up, everybody in the hissy?
We're back.
Yes, we are. Monday to Friday, snakes.
Yep, motherfuckers. It's Thursday or Friday or something. It's episode 660.
Yeah, we'll be talking about the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. We talk a little bit about Amazing Racist.
Yep, and
thanks to Hans for keeping us on the air.
I know, that's so awesome.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Hi-yo! Guess what, everybody? We're back. Thanks for tuning in to the... Yeah, we were gone for a little bit. Sorry about that.
Oh, everybody deserves a vacation.
It was act of God.
Or man.
Act of dog.
There was.
We went a long time, though, without ever really missing. If we had time to miss, we would backlog some episodes and keep you guys in there. So, we're back. Let's...
What are we back?
I don't even know. Are we going to release this Friday?
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll
might try to get like a Thursday, Friday going on this week. I don't know.
All right. Well, it's someday. It's either Thursday or Friday. But we're back.
Yeah. Number 6660.
Coming up is 666.
Yep.
I think next Friday. If we
got too many sixes in my numbers.
Yeah. And we got some, speaking of 666, some Iron Maiden in the background. I chose this song because it has a part in the middle where it's talking about water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. All the fucking ditches and stuff are full. Like, it's almost coming across the road at the 228 I-5 exit there by the villa.
Did you see those tall shrubs over by my house?
I don't think
separate me from the neighbors kind of a thing?
I don't
They're
think
all bent to fuck.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I noticed that your pumpkin is just like the lid of a pumpkin.
Yeah, I know.
It like totally disintegrated. And I thought, did you cut the lid, the top off of it? Nope. As you can see, it's just like...
Yeah. I just organic composting is what I'm doing. I bought a miniature pumpkin...
Right on the cement.
Right before Halloween, just to put on my front porch, you know.
It's fucking rock.
I walked down to the store and there's a house that has a decent sized garden, but they have like a little cart out there of on your honor kind of things, and they have like pumpkin and garlic when that's in season and little flowers, and they had mini pumpkins for a dollar, so
you bought one.
Yeah, and then I put it up on my porch and
let it rot.
Yep. Let the slugs probably.
So it was before Halloween then, probably
The
20th or 25th of October.
Yeah, and now after the snow, it's pretty waterlogged.
It's been about 4 months almost.
Yeah.
Not
it
quite.
Held shape pretty well for a good few months.
Didn't fare as well as your KFC biscuit.
No, no.
But you didn't leave that one outside, so.
I should. That thing's 5 years old now.
Yeah. What? I said, yeah, like I just knew that, and then I thought about it, and I was like.
Well, I've been here for 5 years.
5 years. What have you been doing for the last 5 years?
Living here.
5 years.
I've been fucking saving
KFC. Oh, you've been in prison for 5 years. Okay. So the last episode we had, it was just me broadcasting from the secondary studios, and we got a letter and a check for some money, which was awesome.
Thank you.
From one of our best listeners ever. We'll even give him a shout out. Hans, he keeps us going. He's donated money before. But he said it's snail mail. It came to my post office box with a piece of... It was the weirdest thing. It's a piece of paper with words written on it with a pen.
Now, when was the last time you got a piece of mail in your mailbox from somebody that wrote you a letter?
They're always typed up and printed.
Like a friend or, you know, that's...
Probably postcard was the last thing that I got that was actually written on.
Yeah.
And, he sent me a check, which I had to go to the bank and cash, which was weird because who... You have a checking account, Hans? You could pay all your lines on bill or all your bills online. Anyway, he says,
online.
Hey, Mang, hopefully this will keep you guys rolling a bit longer. I love the show and the way you guys interact, and I look forward to every show. It really helps me get through the work week. Well, thanks, Hans. That's fucking awesome. Also, here's a question for you guys. I heard that a 30-second Super Bowl ad bowel was $4 million.
Yeah.
If someone gave each of you a 30-second ad spot in the 2015 Super Bowl, so one time he called it a Super Bowl, and the second time he called it a Super Bowl, what would you show? Now, keep in mind, this is an open spot. You didn't necessarily have to pay for it.
Before I forget, though, I want to touch on the puns, because Jon Stewart, he had a great one. Soup or a bowl. You get the soup or you get the bowl.
Empty.
Yeah, you either get an empty bowl or you get a soup or you get the soup without the bowl.
Well, how do they give it to you?
See, that's the whole thing.
It's a perpetual question. It could be, is it in a bag? Do they just come and pour it on your head?
Yeah, they just pour it in your hand. You get it. Yep.
Super bowl.
Yeah.
Super salad? I'd say, well, how good of a salad is it? Because when I was a kid, I didn't understand that. Like, would you like super salad? And I was like, is it really super good? And they're like, no, soup or salad, you have a choice.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'll take the super salad. Like, what? Okay, and he said, here's the question. Keep in mind, it's an open spot. You didn't necessarily have to advertise something. You could show 30 seconds of My Two Hawks. Or bacon frying, someone freaking out on bath salts, anything you want. What would you pick? Stay lucky, you slugs. So, here's some great thinking music.
Kind of drawing a stoned blank. Let's see.
Let me get a pen. I'll draw one too.
Yeah, you could. I mean, $4 million, man. That's huge.
I'd probably go for the 15-second ad and take $2 million.
Yeah.
Just for fucking.
Or you could sell. People were combining ads this year. Like at the end of some spots, you just see like a flash of like maybe 2 seconds of a logo, like a State Farm logo. I mean, what more do you need for a State Farm ad?
They see it. State Farm. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, I'm reminded that State Farm exists.
I've noticed they have like 3 to 5 second commercials on K-Fly now.
Yeah.
Like in between songs, it'll say State Farm Insurance Agent Jerry Brunnerbau.
Yeah.
And that's just it. And I was
it's probably maybe too a bit of the radio stations like needing more advertising income that they had to, sell
and
smaller spots.
People not being able to afford the full spots. Yeah.
It probably helps out both. And I saw Jerry Seinfeld must have bought one, because the whole buzz before the Super Bowl was Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza seen at the Tom's Diner.
Oh, I saw that.
And everybody's going crazy, and Jerry said it wasn't a Super Bowl commercial when he was talking about it. But then it ended up being a Super Bowl commercial.
Money talks.
And he had to have paid for it himself.
Well, he's got $800 million.
So. Yeah, but it was for his online show.
Did you hear all the hullabaloo about that?
I figured most of the people watching the Super Bowl had no idea what the fuck.
Getting coffee with comedians?
Yeah.
Okay. Now there's a big, I called it a hullabaloo, but it's like a big thing going on, because he's only had one black person. And somebody asked him about it, saying if he was racist, and he said, it doesn't matter to me. I put on who I think is funny and who I know. And people were saying, no, you put on what your demographic is, white people, and there was never a black person in Seinfeld.
See, when you say stuff like that, though, now if he does because he wants to,
people will think he's doing it because, like, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, people think he's, like,
he had
patronizing.
He had Chris Rock on there because they're buddies, you know, and maybe he's just, like you say, I'm not racist, I have lots of black friends. Maybe he just doesn't have lots of black friends, and maybe he's still not. I've never heard him say anything racist.
It's just not going to look good for either the guest or him now that people have kind of said that.
Yeah.
It's fucking entrapped.
Yeah.
Kind of in a way. I saw, I don't know what show this was on. I saw it on Jon Stewart. It was a clip.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
He can't do that anymore. All right, Iron Maiden, we're setting you to bed now.
It was some guy like CNN or Fox, whichever one Jon Stewart probably makes fun of, actually. But it could go either way, just because, there's stupid stuff on both sides.
Yep.
But he was interviewing Samuel L. Jackson about his new movie.
Did I see a preview for that, or is it just in the works?
Samuel I'm not sure what's going on. The guy interviewing him, which was some stiff white suit, right? He said, "By the way, I loved you in that Super Bowl commercial." And Sam Jackson kind of looked and he said, "What Super Bowl commercial,
motherfucker?"
And the guy's like, "Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I'm being told that it wasn't you." And he's like, "We don't all look the same.
Say
what
Super Bowl commercial
he's
one
like,
more time."
All of a sudden, you can't tell the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne. All of a sudden,
well, I used to get those guys confused all the time.
And then the guy tried to go back to like question him, and Sam Jackson just got, no, you ain't getting away with that. It was Jimmy Kimmel. That's where they were making fun of it.
Ah.
But yeah, it was pretty hilarious because he wasn't like letting it slide.
Huh.
And it was kind of funny. He's like, "You're the entertainment guy over there. You're the entertainment reporter over there. And you can't tell the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne."
Have you ever watched The Matrix?
He's like, "That must be a pretty short line for your job over there."
Wow.
He was pretty brutal to him, but that's, you know, awesome. I mean, come on.
You can't accidentally even get yourself in that situation by saying, wait, I thought you were someone else.
Yeah, and he's all like, "I'm black, I admit it, I'm caught when yeah. Sam Jackson was like, "We don't all look the same."
It just sucks because there's that stereotype that's already out there and it's already created. So mm-hmm. if you accidentally fall into that, you're fucked. You just got to say, okay.
It's a stereotype that all white people think all black guys look the same.
Yeah. And if one time you say, because we all look the same, right, motherfucker? Yep. Like, no, that's not what I thought, but you look kind of like him because you both got that weird hair.
It's like if somebody says something's racist, if people automatically say, "Oh, you're playing the race card." And what can you say against that, you know? I mean,
if you saw two black people and one of them had a shaved head, say like Ving Rhames.
Yeah.
And then you got a guy who looks like Damian Marley with long dreadlocks. Mm-hmm. You're not going to think that they're the same person.
No.
If you saw a whole bunch of white people that all had long hair and scruff, say you and me and 15 mm-hmm. other people like us, they would think we all look the same.
Yeah.
Whether it was Chinese people. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I don't remember what movie was that. I watched some movie and it had Ari Schaefer. Do you know him? Ari Schaefer? Do you know that guy? He's a comedian.
It sounds familiar.
Oh, it was called Inappropriate Movie, but uh-huh. It was called Inappropriate Movie, but app was in big letters. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a skit movie. Mm-hmm. It's a movie, but it's all a bunch of skits. And he's got this tablet and he's sitting under the sidewalk, you know, like a homeless person, and he pushes a button on one of the apps and then it turns into a skit of part of the movie. Mm-hmm. And one of them was The Amazing Racist. And it was that Ari Schaefer, and it was so funny. He was a driving instructor, and he was taking two Asian people on two different ones, and they were cutting back and forth between the two people. And he was just using every racial stereotype, and they mm-hmm. were, it was, you'd think it was hidden camera, but I went and pulled it for myself and looked on Google, and it said it's a scripted movie that's supposed to look like that. And so he was going, "All right, sir," he goes, "could you open your eyes a little bit more?" To the Asian guy, because he's like, "My eyes are open." He's like, "They're almost closed." He's like, "You shouldn't be driving with your eyes squinted like that." He goes, "You need to open your eyes up. Open them up." And he's like, "Don't think about stopping to take any pictures," you know, because he's just doing every stereotype. And then there was one of them was a girl, and he's like, are your vaginas really sideways? Like, and she was like, "Fuck you. You're a dick." And then they had another one that was called Black Ass, and it was like Jackass, but it was black people.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. If you get a chance to check it out, it was on Netflix. An inappropriate comedy. Pretty funny.
Right on.
He was given free boat rides back to Africa for black people. And it was this totally broken down boat that was like a long ways from the ocean on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And when black people would walk by, he's like, "Free boat rides today. Back to the motherland. We're taking you back to Africa." And then there was like a black person and a white person who's like, "Free boat rides, but just for you, because we're sending all the black people back to Africa." And they're like, "What the fuck is your problem, dude?" And he's like, "Why wouldn't you want to go there? It's your homeland, and there's just too many of you here now. And you guys could go to movies and talk all the time." And it's pretty funny. The Amazing Racist.
I saw a commercial for the Samuel Jackson movie Snakes on a Plane. You remember that movie?
I just watched it for the first time about 2-3 months ago. It was actually kind of entertaining.
Yeah, but this one was a TV ad for the TV. I think it might have been AMC that was playing it or something like that. Like the world premiere on TV, this movie.
Right.
And so you're thinking,
that's
well,
where I saw it.
Is it?
Yeah, on AMC.
Was it uncensored?
Yeah.
Because the clip that I saw, he wasn't saying...
The snakes on the motherfucking plane?
Yeah, what he was saying is, I'm tired of these Monday to Friday snakes on these Monday to Friday plane.
Maybe they just censored it for the commercial.
Maybe, but trailer. I thought that was hilarious that...
Monday to Friday?
Yeah, because I guess that would look kind of looks like motherfucker.
I've been trying to watch some clips of stuff to see if I could overdub fake... You know how they have those videos with a bad lip syncing or... Mm-hmm. It's not bad lip syncing. It's a badlipreading.com or something, and you just put in whatever you want.
Makes it easier if you use animals.
Monday through Friday. Motherfucker. Monday through Friday. Yeah, I was kind of... I was surprised that Kenan Thompson was so serious in that movie. He was in Snakes on a Motherfucking Plane. The black dude, you know.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Oh, I thought you said you just watched it. Or no, you just saw
the trailer. I saw the commercial.
Okay.
But I did watch it when it's coming out, and I do agree it was more entertaining than I expected because it seemed like it was just silly when you think about it, but it was kind of one of those...
A lot of the CGI like of the snakes and stuff
yeah,
was
Yeah, it's
stupid.
Like mainstream... Mega Shark or whatever those movies are.
Yeah.
You know?
You know,
when you
got
Sam Jackson in there yelling, motherfucker.
I can't remember. Someone else was in it that I thought was stupid. Stupider than the show. I did watch that movie Flight with Denzel Washington recently. That was pretty good.
I don't
know. It was not too bad. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but he does fly a motherfucking plane upside down to save
him. Yeah.
And he was all on...
I remember there was a big...
He was on coke and vodka.
He was all coked up or something.
Yeah, he was on coke and vodka.
Yep.
He's a partier, dude. Denzel Washington.
Yeah. Well, isn't it weird that Sam Jackson did two movies that year, one named Black Snake Moan and one named Snake
Was
on
that
a
the
plane?
Same year?
Yeah.
Wow.
2006, man. That's 8 years ago.
He was on a snake kick.
That movie's 8 years old.
I did not know it came out when Black Snake Moan came out because I watched Black Snake Moan. Because What's-Her-Name was kind of hot in that.
Does that seem like 8 years ago?
No. 2008.
Like when you were watching it, were you thinking, man, I waited 8 years to see this movie?
I thought it had been like 3.
Yeah.
I didn't know when it came out. It was weird, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all of our snow finally melted off. If anyone's listening that's out of the area, which is most half of you,
yeah.
I'm sure Adrian Bacon Farrell is like, what, you got 12 inches of snow and the whole fucking state shut down? Yeah, pretty much. I know that doesn't happen in Canada, but around here, fuck. Did you see that 20-car pileup on I-5? Dude, it's intense. 20-car pileup.
No, I did not.
I saw the video for it, not when it was happening, but after it was done, and there was just, it looked like someone took a toy box and just scattered all their cars everywhere. Like, for 2 days, just people fucking slide off the
Yeah,
road.
There's 3 days... Where there's probably no travel, right?
Yeah. My wife was crazy, and she traveled. And we tried to go to Lebanon to go to Walmart because her cousins came to town for a week from Oklahoma.
Yep.
First time her cousin's husband had ever been to Oregon, or he's never been to the ocean, so we wanted to take him to the coast, which we eventually did.
And so, yeah.
But we
and
were
so
stuck in the house for
gets,
4 days.
He gets jammed. He comes ends
in
up
a house.
Coming on the biggest storm and...
Yeah, he's like, what
years.
The fuck, man? We're like, I thought you didn't. It rains in Oregon. It never snows like this. Yeah, it doesn't, but it did this time. So we were stuck in the house for at least 3 days, and one of those days was like 7 hours of no power. Did you lose power?
Oh, no. I don't. I had
there
flickers.
There was people in Springfield whose power went off at noon on Saturday, just came on this morning.
Wow.
Well, that was Wednesday, whatever day this show comes out, but they were out of power for 5 days. Leanne Joshua was one of them, and she's like, oh, my Amish period is over now, and so I can start to clean things up and get some. I thought we were bad for 7 hours, man.
Yeah.
All your food was going to go bad unless you throw it into coolers or whatever, but.
Yeah, that would be, well, at least you'd have ice.
Yeah, for sure. You could just use the snow.
Yeah, but.
I built a couple snowmen.
Yeah, pretty cool. I built a couple mini ones.
I built one big one. That ended up being too big. His midsection was too large for me to lift, so I had to shave it down a little bit and make mm-hmm. it smaller, because that fucking snow is heavy.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot. I heard Albany got 14 and a half inches of downfall.
I think we got at least 12 in Brownsville.
And it was pretty nuts. The first 2 days it snowed really heavily, and then the third night was freezing rain.
Yeah, that really helped. And then it
created the ice right over the...
There was like a layer of about a quarter inch of ice, and if you broke that away, nice fresh
powder.
Snow. Yeah, and it was great for building snowmen.
Yeah, yeah.
Just break a piece apart, put some ice on it, roll it up.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the easiest for walking through. It was kind of a slow, kind of like walking in powdery mud.
And so if anybody believes in God and that he has any power over anything, well, he's a dick then, because he waited until... The victim show, that was the first time we were supposed to play, had to cancel that. Our cousins came to town from Oklahoma. They had to stay in the house for 3 days. God's a dick. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. But we did make it to the coast. It was foggy and not really rainy, which was awesome. We got to walk on the beach. You got to see the ocean and went to the casino in Lincoln City for a little bit.
There's your Super Bowl commercial right there. God is a dick.
Yep.
You show like world disasters.
Babies with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Cats with feline AIDS.
Yeah.
Why does that have to happen?
Did you see who was that at the end of... did you say you watched that whole Beatles Grammy thing?
Pretty much.
At the end, there was a guy that was wearing a shirt that said HIV positive. And I was wondering if it was maybe a musician, like that was his way of coming out to the world. But it was so quick as they, you know, they were just panning, everybody clapping along to... Hey Jude,
yeah,
and Paul's all, Julian over there, and Ringo said he had never even played the last time he played that song was when they recorded it before like the audition before the
because they didn't have any shows after that and but I wonder why he wouldn't have like played that.
But yeah, I mean he's toured with the All Star Band. I guess that was just never one that he played.
Because it's got a lot of his signature floppy little.
Yeah.
He's got such a weird... Do you know who that drummer was that played on all those songs? That
yeah.
It was, I didn't know, Kenny Aronoff.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, he's played with Skinner, fucking...
Dude, you should see the
probably
list.
Probably Mellencamp. It's huge,
and it's funny. I'm sitting there watching the show like about an hour or two after it had started because he DVR'd it and we were watching a little later. And every time I'd see someone on there, I'd go, I wonder who that guy is. And I'd go to Google it on my phone. And it would autofill. Like, everybody was probably Googling the same thing as they were watching that show.
Yeah.
Like, who is that drummer? It's like, oh, mm-hmm. is that Kenny Aronoff? He played for John Cougar first, and then he played for fucking everybody, Smashing Pumpkins. There was a ton. I can't even remember the list. It was insane.
It was huge. I imagined dragons while I was watching it.
Oh, God. I'm so sick of those guys.
That was the first time I'd ever really seen them.
They were on Saturday Night Live, and I fucking skipped it on there, and then I actually watched the whole mm-hmm. whatever thing they did. I can't remember what song they ruined.
Yeah,
but
there. Oh, it was Revolution.
Oh yeah, I guess they didn't ruin it too bad, but
yeah, I enjoyed the Hey Bulldog with Jeff Lynne and Dave Grohl. That was interesting
awesome.
To see those two guys whipping out together.
And so I know that it says Bullfrog somewhere in. But the song is called Hey Bulldog.
Yep.
And towards the end, they say that 4 or 5 times.
What's he mean by jackknife in his pants?
I don't know.
Isn't that what the lyric is?
We'll have to look into that. But I did notice, just watching Jeff Lynne sing it, I'm pretty sure that he was saying bullfrog, because you have to put your teeth on your lip to make an F.
Yeah.
And he was going, Hey Bullfrog. But I might be wrong. But yeah, those whole lyrics are fucking weird. Wigwam.
Yeah. Well, jackknife in your pants, I would think, would be like when you get a...
Jacking off.
A sudden boner in your pants, and it's like, ah!
Yep. I'm jackknifed.
Yep. Sean Penn was kind of weird on there, wasn't he?
He flubbed
like,
his lines.
He looked like
high.
He was fucking nervous as hell. To me, it was like...
I think he was on some drugs.
Maybe it was that big of honor for him. And maybe he was on drugs.
He messed up. The dude I thought was awesome, Jeff Bridges, he did a good thing, and he didn't really seem like he was reading as much as everybody else. Everybody else seemed like they were kind of reading. He probably was too, but he always talks like he's the dude. I think mm-hmm. that character was
I know. When I was watching that, I was thinking, because, you know, the Coens wrote that about some guy who lives in L.A., I'm like, it has to be him.
Well, even if it wasn't, he just acted like himself in that movie and said, come on, dude.
Yeah. And then if you watch that movie, The Amateurs, It's kind of like the part two. Almost.
Really? Is that a Coen movie?
Huh?
The Amateurs? Is that a...
It's a movie.
Is it Coen, though?
No.
Oh.
No, but he plays a very dude-like character. He's like this guy in a small town. It's got, what's that one? Got Tim Blake Nelson in it. And the one guy from, the reporter from Almost Famous, Patrick Fugit or Wilson, one of the two. And then there's a couple other Ted Danson's in it.
Huh?
It's a pretty cool cast. It was kind of a lower budget movie, I think, or didn't get a huge release, but it was kind of like that porno movie that Kevin Smith, I thought, did. Mike and Mira.
Oh, Zach and Miri make a porno?
Yeah. And but Jeff Bridges kind of plays like this guy that, you know, when he got an idea in his eye, everybody knew it was kind of a small town. And his idea was to make a porno. And so, and then, like, Ted Danson's like this gay guy, but he's not out of the closet. So he's always talking about, oh, yes, I can't wait. Can I want to watch these ladies get all naked. And it was real awkward, and everybody's looking at him like, dude, we know you're gay. And they're just kind of a bunch of, like, misfits, small-town misfits, and they don't really know what they're doing. And so, you know, it's a funny movie. I enjoyed it. The acting's pretty well done.
And the name is, again, what was the name of
it? The Amateurs.
The Amateurs.
Yeah. But it was before the other movie.
The Big Lebowski?
No, the porno movie.
Oh, Zach and Miri. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. But Peter Frampton was also in the house band.
Yeah.
And on that Beatles Grammy salute. And Steve Lukather was the other guitarist.
Toto.
Yep. And Don was.
Not was.
Was the bassist. They had a keyboardist in there and an organ player. Or maybe a pianist. And they had the backing singers and... And it was pretty cool. It was a good watch. And if there's a chance anybody gets to watch that.
They're doing an encore one just, I think, last night.
Right on.
No, tomorrow, which is going to be last night. Because today we're recording. But.
Yep, of course. You know, there are some bands, you know, like the Imagine Dragons that aren't really my cup of tea or, you know.
And then every once in a while, it'd be somebody like,
John
who the
Legend
fuck's that?
And Alicia Keys.
Yeah,
and,
or that one guy, which was cool. He was a blues player, a black dude that played...
he's the future of blues, they say.
Yeah.
I looked him up.
Me too. He was discovered by the guy who runs the place that was the birthplace of Stevie Ray Vaughan and Jimmy Vaughan. He's from Austin.
Uh-huh.
And he's only like 29 or 30 years old.
Yeah.
And he jammed with... wasn't that with Joe Walsh?
Yep, who I thought was Tom Petty at first because his head was kind of hanging there.
Yeah, he's got his hair all dyed blonde now, too. I mean, it's always blonde, but it was grayer for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hoo-yah.
Yeah.
Look at the stuff he knows.
Yeah, he's a junior, I think, is his name.
Yeah, but I didn't know who the father, who the senior was. I didn't recognize the name. I hate that when I go to someone I think I should know and then I don't know him. I was like, dude, I don't know that guy. God damn it.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it was a good watch for sure. And I was glad I caught it. I just caught, like, you told me Grohl was on the TV again and then I turned it on right when he was saying that it was his daughter's favorite band. But then I watched the whole thing down at my dad's. So.
Yeah.
I might have missed a couple parts, but. Went outside to smoke a cigarette or some shit.
Yeah, it was fun, and he called Grohl out, too, during Yellow Submarine.
Oh, yeah?
He called him when it got to the sergeant.
Oh, he goes, is that your daughter?
Right before he said, Sergeant Grohl!
Yeah.
Or whatever he says.
Yeah, and then I saw Dave Grohl run up there and, like, sing or something in Ringo's ear during Hey Jude or something. I don't know. They were having a good time.
Oh, yeah, they were singing. I think he was singing Hey Jude with them, like trying to get them to sing into the mic with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to find out the fucking wiki for this fucking thing to see all the performances.
You can't remember his name, who you're looking for.
Oh, I was just wanting to check out some of the performances so I could remember some of them.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Then there was LL Cool J. Wasn't he
on
there?
Dude, he's a lip licker.
Dude, yeah. That's how he gets the chicks.
He licks his lips, though, when he's talking a lot. Like, yeah, wasn't he the host of the Grammys, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember, I think it was Westy Weaver who said, we just played a drinking game where we have to take a drink every time LL Cool J licks his lips, and he licked them like 26 times within the first three-minute fucking monologue.
I bet.
And they were wasted.
I bet. Yeah, because that's his signature move, though.
He's a lip licker, and mm-hmm. he's got a lot of lip to lick.
He does.
And that's
the ladies love Cool James.
They do, and they love cool lip licking.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a lip licking Cool James.
LL Lick Lipper.
Yeah.
Lip Licker. Okay. I'm going to do this real quick. And we'll get back to the Beatles special. It's time for Crazy Floridians. Like I said on a couple weeks ago, I just keep waiting for the train to come out of the wall. We're going off into fucking make-believe land. In Lake Worth, Florida, it took Florida police officers about 10 minutes to subdue a naked man in the state of excited delirium who came at them with what I thought was first a large cock, but it says a large clock, which had numerous sharp utensils protruding from its entire border.
Yeah.
As a 17-year-old kid took his clothes off at a neighbor's house and attacked a teenager. He seemed to be intoxicated, but not drunk. He broke one of the officer's arms, and after he tried to touch his face, the teen ran back in the backyard and used a trampoline to hop over a fence and get away. He was breaking random things inside the house and shouting nonsensical things such as 5, 6, 7, 8, Grandma! Girlfriend, 1, 2, 3, 4!
Was it Tom Green?
It was Conrad Hopper.
Huh.
He was moving erratically around the kitchen with clenched fists and pacing aimlessly. They finally got a pair of handcuffs on him, and he did not change his temperament. He continued to kick at the deputies and thrash around violently.
Kick!
And what'd they do? I guess they just arrested him. It says here last week police shot and killed another naked man after he bit someone in the face. So Florida people still freaking out, getting naked and biting people's faces off.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say whether he was on bath salts or what it was, but he's in jail now. So don't do that, kids. Don't go biting people's faces.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that.
And this other dude in Florida, this is my last Florida story for today. He called 911 because he was pissed because his tax return hadn't came back yet. And they charged him $450 and 2 days in jail just for calling 911.
Huh.
So don't do that either. He was drunk as fuck Sunday night and admitted to the 911 dispatcher that he was messed up. They found him on location at his phone, still on the phone with the dispatcher. They said, why'd you call 911? He said he wanted to check on his tax return. He was mad because it wasn't back yet. So it's not okay, guys.
Yeah, it's not.
Crazy Floridians.
They are, dude.
They are.
They are.
They're nutty.
Dude, right,
what'd you find out?
Stuff.
I bet.
I found out some stuff.
I hope so.
You know, the show was written by David Wilde and Kenneth Ehrlich.
It was?
Yeah.
The Amateurs?
No, I'm talking about the Beatles Grammy night.
That show was written?
Yep.
What?
It was written by two guys.
They wrote all the talking stuff?
I guess it was directed by Greg Gelfand.
Huh.
Isn't that weird, though?
Yeah. How would you like to be a writer for a Beatles special?
It would be weird.
When George Harrison was just a
small more like
you
just need
lad.
A showrunner like...
He grew up in Liverpool, you know, until he met Paul McCartney.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they collaborated with some of the people, like, what do you want to say, you know?
I don't know. What do you want to say?
Yeah, so you're not umming when you're up there. You know, you probably want to know what you're going to say, I guess, ahead
what
of time.
What do you think John Lennon would say?
And But some of the performances, I heard Paul McCartney perform that night.
He did.
And Ringo Starr.
Yeah, both of them.
I missed the first... two songs
of Ringo
of the show.
Oh, I don't know.
All My Lovin' and Ticket to Ride by Maroon 5.
Dude,
I missed that.
You didn't miss much. All My Lovin'.
And We Can Work It Out, I Missed That by Stevie Wonder.
That was pretty good.
I think I just started watching it. I heard it was the only one that needed to be redone at maybe it was the rehearsal or whenever they recorded it. Because I know they, you know, they're
it was
not
a way
show.
Different arrangement than normal. He funked it up a little bit. And then he did a harmonica solo with his big harmonica that he pushes the button on the side.
Mm-hmm. His whammy monica.
Yeah, he was wasted. No, I don't know if he was, but he's yeah. He couldn't see nothing.
I know. Well, I saw when I first turned it on, it was I saw they were just panning out with him sitting there waiting to be carted off as the people applauded.
And he's
because you know, I mean, he's not going to get up and start walking around, right?
Yeah, well, he could.
That would be weird, though.
Like, you could probably train, and they probably really get good at that stuff. Like when you're walking in, just remember 3 paces, and then 2 steps, and then if you take 2 steps to your left, you're going to be clear of your keyboard. You can take a bow. Yeah. Hope you don't fall off the edge of the stage like that blind old black dude that you are.
It is something, but from. Jeff Lynne and Joe Walsh and George Harrison's son.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like that song.
I was surprised that George Harrison's son didn't sing more. Like, I thought he would sing lead on it, but he sang backup, so I could tell he could actually sing. He was singing harmonies and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And the 2 songs that Joe Walsh played on, they're definitely kind of Joe Walsh-y kind of lead.
He did stay true to the melody line of the solos, but he Walshed it up a little bit, sure.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
I didn't realize, you know. I mean, they kind of have that. Him and George had kind of that standoutish tone.
Yep.
Amongst their stuff, like in the something. And for people that want to check out the isolated bass track on there, you find that on YouTube for something. That's way cool, man. Paul McCartney doing all these slides and. Just these little things that you're like, you know, it's crazy just to hear the bass line in that song. He's so fucking busy of a bass player.
Yeah, and when you hear the song as a whole, you don't notice it.
You don't. You don't notice, like, you hear the strong ones, because he's not playing everything like do-do-do-do-do at the same volume, you know? I mean, he's got nuances, so it's like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some notes are quieter, and you don't always hear, like, the intricate sliding and all that kind of stuff, you know, until you really bring it down. And it was really a good listen, that one. And what's the other one? She's So Heavy.
Oh, yeah, that's got...
He's all over the place on that one, too. Yeah.
It's a little bit of something. I don't think I ever realized that there was all that going on in there. I don't want to leave you now. And you know, you hear that in the background, but I don't know whether I knew it was the bass or if it was just part of an awesome song.
Yeah. And I mean, who was playing bass like a fucking lead guitarist back in those days?
Well, plus, you know, all 3 of those guys were guitarists, and Paul took the bass because somebody had to.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like that with a lot of bands. I think Kiss even did that. I think Gene Simmons was a guitarist, and he said, well, I'll play the bass.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. You want it to be someone good. Don't want to leave you now.
Fucking nuts. Knuckin' Futs.
Yeah, it is.
It's some good stuff.
Yep, for sure. So if you didn't get a chance to see that, you could probably find some on YouTube. I'm sure they'd be happy.
Keith Urban and John Mayer did Don't Let Me Down, Bruce.
Great.
Very wrong song.
Great song, but I didn't care.
Yeah, Katy Perry did Yesterday, which I can't hear without singing the other version. Leprosy.
Who did that one? I never heard of it. Weird Al?
No, it was John Valby. Dirty John Valby.
Leprosy.
He did the songs like 3 Blind Crabs. And Everybody Get Your Grandma, It's a Gangbang.
That's good. I'm going to have to check that shit out.
That's a great song. Hey Bulldog by Grohl and Lynn. The Eurythmics.
Yeah.
Brought back
Fool on the Hill.
Yeah, dude.
Never performed live by the Beatles,
that
ever.
That fucking voice, dude. Fucking yeah. And crazy. And that one guy in his hats.
Wasn't that when Ringo asked Paul, who's that guy?
I don't think he asked it. I think Paul just leaned over and he's...
It's Dave Stewart.
Yeah, yeah. And Ringo's like, pauses, and he's like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Why are you telling me?
He kind of chuckled. And at that, you know, they showed him a few times, and Paul was always, like, saying something whenever the camera's on him. And I think that's kind of, you know, he knows how to play that game.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, what a magical moment that must have been for those guys, like, watching these people 50 fucking years later, man.
That's what my
playing
dad was saying.
Those songs that you wrote 50 fucking years ago.
Yeah, but they're just kids compared to him, you know.
Yeah, and probably, you know, those guys probably played those songs more than the Beatles have played.
Well, yeah, because they played them for 7 years. Everybody else has been playing them for 50.
Yeah, and, you know, they kind of stopped touring after 66, was it?
After the Candlestick Park thing where they couldn't hear themselves.
Yeah, and they're just kind of like, fuck it, we'll just do the studio stuff, you know. And
we must make...
They didn't have the equipment that was available at the time... You know, wasn't up to their standards of being able to perform live over thousands of screaming fans.
Yep.
Yeah, and here comes the Sean.
Dude.
Brad Paisley.
I don't care for country artists.
Yeah. Buy my guitar gently. Dreep.
Dreep.
Dreeps.
Derp a derp.
That was Joe Walsh, Dave Grohl, and Gary Clark Jr. That was the guy's name.
I don't know who Gary Clark Jr. is.
He's that blues guy.
Oh, that's the black guy, huh?
Yeah, while my guitar gently weeps.
Yeah.
Which Grohl, you know, bashed those drums for all they're worth.
Yeah, he did. He beat the fuck out of them.
He definitely played the... he's got his own style.
I wonder what Ringo was thinking. He's like, man.
I know.
You're going to break that shit.
Yep, and Dave Grohl said that he probably wouldn't be playing music if not for the Beatles.
Yeah, and you got to say that.
Yeah.
Because that was written.
Ringo Starr played Matchbox Boys and Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, my dad got a kick out of that Matchbox song because I think that was like a... who was that? Buck Owens song or something? Or it wasn't written by them, but they'd give Ringo the throwaway cover songs.
Yeah.
All you got to do is act naturally.
And then they... Birthday by Paul McCartney, which was a really weird one. And then I saw Get Back, he did.
Yeah,
which
was
another great choice.
Yeah.
If, you know, if I was going to choose three and you figure like the one, you got to do the birthday because it was the 50th anniversary, you know, and then you do like the late rocking one, Get Back.
Yeah.
That'd be great to hear perform, you know, and he did a great job. And then I saw her standing there, the early huge rocking hit of the Beatles. Like, you know, that was the one that... Probably, you know, worried parents to death as they're watching their kids irresistibly dance to that song and
That is a
and
dancer.
Be suggestive of sexual innuendos. Oh,
yeah!
I saw her standing there. I'm gonna fuck her.
We crossed the room and what happened after that? I don't know. No, but it's a real dancer. Like when the Bone Jars used to play that song, it was a real staple for us.
Yeah.
The dance floor would fill up every time we just bust into that song because they all know the words and they can go woo.
Yeah. It's a great fucking
to say woo when
live,
you're dancing.
Live song to play live.
Saying woo's fun when you're dancing.
Yeah.
Saying woo.
And then they finished it up with the first time I think they ever played back to back live, you know, where they went from Sgt. Pepper to With a Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah.
That's when Ringo came back on and they did that song and then Hey Jude, 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 with Julian right there on stage. Jude was on stage, and I was thinking, man, he, you know, he sang that to him probably like 40 years ago when he wrote it. He might have been like, he probably played it for him, you know, once then. But how many times does Paul say, "Hey, come over, Jude, and let me play Hey Jude for you"?
Yeah, but I think they should have changed since Julian was there. They should. I heard that it was originally called Hey Jules.
Yeah.
So he should have changed it. Hey, Jules.
Yeah.
Give me all your money.
Shout out to him.
No, that's not. I'm just kidding.
But, then,
yeah.
I wonder, did he ever write a song about Sean Lennon?
No, because he was a product of Yoko, mm-hmm. so he didn't mm-hmm. like her. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Sean. Too bad you you're Asian.
Shod.
Hey, Shood. Hey, Sean. Too bad you're Asian. I'm not writing a song about you.
Yeah, and fucking Yoko was out there dancing to some songs.
Yeah, she was, and she's 80.
I know.
And how? Why does she keep her glasses so low? Does she have, like, acne on her cheeks?
That's her, it's her performance art.
That's her thing.
She's a performance artist.
I was all half expecting her to start gobbling in the fucking... It's like, oh, performance artist. You can still do that when you're 80, can't you? But she didn't. God dang it.
Yeah. Good old Yoko.
Or whatever. So I can't remember. It's been so long since we've been here. Did I talk about watching that a documentary on a band called Death? Did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
Dude, you got to watch it if you can.
All right.
It's on Netflix. It's called A Band Called Death. And it's about a punk rock band from the 70s of three black dudes that are brothers, and they're actually brothers, too.
Wait, it's not about the band Death?
No, it's about the first band called Death before the other Death that everybody knew about before the first Death, because the first Death died before they got popular, but they did record a bunch of sessions. And it's an awesome story because, like, it's weird. It's almost unbelievable. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Was it like CB4 then?
No, not really like that. But it's some good shit, though. I love that movie. Oh, that's right. I talked about it on the show that I did by myself. So everybody out there has already heard about it. But, yeah, you didn't, so you better listen. Watch A Band Called Death. It's crazy. And then they're back together now. One of the guys died, but they got, like, one of the other guy's sons or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting watch, for sure.
Right on. Did you know in Dave Grohl's hometown? Do you know Dave Grohl's hometown? Trivia time.
It's in Virginia.
Nope.
Oh.
Ohio.
Oh, I knew that. But he moved to Virginia when I was, like, 7 or 9 or something, didn't he?
Warren, Ohio gave him his own alley. Did you know that, like, 2 years ago?
Dave Grohl Alley?
Yeah, and in there resides the world's largest pair of drumsticks. 900 pounds for
the pair. Wow. Those are big sticks.
900 pounds, yeah.
And that's just in the alley there? Dave Grohl Alley?
Yeah, I guess it's an alley, and it looks like, you know, like a park where they have the... I mean, because they're huge drumsticks.
They're, I think, like, people would come,
they're
in,
like
graffiti
20 them, feet long.
Sign them and stuff.
And they have, like, plaques on them, you know, and stuff, and they look like... They also have a place where they hang them, so it looks like they might, like, put them out daily, like a flag or something.
Right.
Or, you know, so in the right weather.
Huh. I didn't hear about that. I knew that he was from, I couldn't remember just now, and of course I said the wrong answer, but I did read a couple first chapters of a book about the life of Dave Grohl.
He said there's a book about him?
Yeah. I had it on my Kindle. And
obviously,
like,
it's a part one, right?
Yeah. It's not done yet. I think it was written in like 99 or something like that. But
all autobiographies are a part one.
Yeah, yeah. Until they die, I guess.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
No,
did we talk about that?
No, we talked about
Hans.
No,
we didn't.
We talked about the Super Bowl and the
yeah, but, well,
and the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about like the game or anything.
Oh, it was a blowout. I heard that people were upset because it was a shitty game.
Yeah.
It's because they were both...
Most times, Super Bowl isn't that exciting of a game, but in the last few years, it has been.
They were both so stoned, dude, they couldn't even play.
I know.
It's like weird, man.
Yep.
My wife's cousin had a layover in Denver for 5 hours, so they went down to the dispensary and bought some legal weed.
Oh, right on.
All they had to do was show their regular ID. Uh-oh, what's that sound? It's time for What's in Hans' CD player.
What's up, Hanses?
We're going to find out right now what's in Hans' CD player.
Wait, I'm
going to
guess.
Okay.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
That's it. No, it's not. Actually, I was kind of surprised by this. Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't stand the weather.
Oh, I was going to say Texas Flood.
He couldn't stand the weather. And that's a great album. I love
They're all great albums, man. All of his are.
That's right. And I was listening to some Grieving Son. Remember those guys?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
And I just had, like, as I listened to that CD, it's an EP kind of, maybe six, 3 or 4 minute songs. It just brought me back to that time of playing shows with Domesticide and Grieving Son, and missed those guys, man.
Good.
Yeah, and it's kind of a rough recording because it's a demo, but just the song, I hadn't heard the songs for so long. If anybody has any way to get a hold of any Grieving Son.
I got a live performance from Sickfest 3, was it?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I probably have that in my computer somewhere, too. Or maybe not. It might be my old computer that already went tits up.
Yep. I was listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Actually, I wasn't.
Okay, were you listening to them play Unplugged at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's what I was going to touch on.
Okay, great.
Did you hear about that?
I did. I saw pictures on the internets about it. And they said that it was done because the stadium has such bad acoustics that it would have sounded. What's the difference of playing a pre-recorded song than playing a song live by a band?
Well, Flea, I think, made a public statement about how, like, they don't have much time to set up there, and it was kind of when they agreed to perform, they knew it was going to be live vocals, but it would be a backing thing, because so many things can go wrong with sound, you know, you're on a very limited time, you know, you want to give the audience a strong performance, you don't want it to come off crappy, I guess.
Well, they should have at least put a fake little cord in there running to a wireless unit that wasn't on or something.
There was Nirvana played on that one show over in the BBC, wasn't it, where they didn't even pretend to play their instruments.
Oh, they were, Dave Grohl was like holding the sticks up and hitting the cymbals on the top, and Kurt was going like,
yeah, and he was singing like all Morrissey sounding.
Load up on guns and kill your friends. Or no, I think he said load up on drugs and kill your friends. He changed the words and he's like, hello, 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 hello. And he's like got his, he's like deep throat the mic and stuff. He's got those weird big glasses on. And the kids, they're all fucking from another country and they don't even notice, kind of. They're just all pogo and Bob.
Yeah.
Boing, boing, boing. They're like, yay.
Yeah. Like, well, they're probably dragged off stage. If not, it was... They're not looking like the show wants to be.
They probably wanted to drag Nirvana off the stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, they fucking... I guess sometimes, you know, and you think of that with, like, Britney Spears and all that kind of stuff, or whoever lip syncs in that genre. Like, when, I guess, if you were a fan of those people, because, like... If you were a Britney fan, I guess, what would you like? I guess you'd think she was some awesome vocalist or something, right? And
well,
so you'd want to hear like the best. If you went to a show, you'd want to hear like the best vocals you could hear, because she's out there running around dancing and
so
stuff.
She's gonna be panting. And
she's gonna be out of breath and her, you know, her breath might be kind of wrong for the kind of singing, because if you're in the studio singing that shit, you know,
you're not
what I mean?
Dancing around.
Yeah, you're fucking focused on just the one that.
Maybe they
that
should
perfect.
Do that. I think they should start choreographing songs before they ever record them, and they have to do it with a wireless mic in the studio, just running around and dancing.
Yeah.
That way, it'll sound authentic.
Yeah.
When they play the concert.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if, you know, if I was a fan of that type of music and I went there and she sounded like shit because she was all running around and fucking stuff. I don't know.
Say, just sit still for a second, bitch.
Yeah, but, you know, Axl Rose did it, right? He didn't lip sync.
No, I don't
He ran around on stage. He fucking ran like miles every fucking time he was on stage.
Dude, those stages were so big, it's ridiculous.
I know.
You could run for 30 seconds and not... I'm going to the paradise city where the grass is green and I'm still fucking running. I'm running home.
That would be a fucking commitment to play like that many people, though, because you're like, if you just stood there in one spot, people would never even like see you on the other end, would they?
They'd just be looking at that big, huge screen.
Yeah.
Which I hate. You know, and speaking of that, I hate fucking big places and places that make you, like, sit in seats, like, if you're in the front row and you're still 20 feet from the band.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, I was stoked at first and then pissed. Queens of the Stone Age, April 15th in Portland. Fucking Keller Auditorium. Are you kidding me? Dude, that's like a fucking movie theater. It looks like a movie theater in there. It's all fucking chairs.
Huh.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But, you know,
big for their britches, maybe.
anybody who wants to go see Queens, but they should be playing at smaller venues. I mean, that's not even that big of a venue. They could have played Roseland.
I heard Josh took some heat recently.
Is that a new kind of drug or something?
No, he took some heat because some fan jumped up on stage and hugged him or something.
Dude, he's always getting in a fight with people.
And people said, or and he said, dude, you're lucky I don't fucking kick your ass or something like that.
Josh said that?
Yeah, and he's all he ranted about how God bless all you fans or something, or I love all you fans, but fuck that guy, and he just kind of went off.
You can
for a
while. Go online, and there's so many YouTube rants of him in concert, and yep. He just gets rude. He's like, see that guy right there? Put the spotlight on that guy. That guy's a fucking cock smoker right there, and if you see him, go up to him and say, hi, cock smoker. Thanks for trying to ruin our concert. You're a fucking dick, and he was just like being like totally rude to him, and I was like, dude, he paid money to come see you.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was a festival or something, and he wasn't there to see him, but... But fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be such a dick, Josh. So you're worth $7 million. You don't have to be a dick. My wife would be pissed.
Yeah. Well, $7 million, that's nothing.
That ain't. He could get a 30-second ad on...
Yeah, if you only had $7 million, would you spend $4 million of it on a Super Bowl ad?
You know, I guess we never answered Hans's question, what we would put on there before we get out of here.
I said God is a dick.
I would put a commercial for our podcast, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'd split it up. I'd have like the little trailer at the end.
You'd put the TagCast rep on there.
TerryGyle.com at the very end, because I'd add it.
Mm-hmm.
Just 1 second, however fast you could say, TerryGyle.com. But the rest of it would be TagCast, podcast.
I'd have animals on there like taking dumps.
With no sound.
Yep, with no sound. And it'd be like
you could have
I don't know what it would.
You could have like little
for.
Cartoon thought bubbles that just said.
Yep.
I don't know how you spell that.
I watched that South Park the other day where they had all the internet people that got in a fight. I can't remember the whole thing that was going on.
I got pissed at those guys and stopped watching them for a while.
But
so
they were. It was all the internet sensation people like Afro Ninja and Tron Guy. And
oh,
that.
From viral videos?
And they were all in that one room and they all ended up killing each other. And the one guy was like, stop picking on the panda. Don't leave the panda alone. And then the pandas all fucking kills him.
Yeah. A lot of those guys' old shows are funny, but this last season, I even deleted it from my DVR because I wasn't interested. I usually save the newest season, but fuck, what are you guys doing, man?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, you always is going to have when you got strong seasons, sometimes other seasons aren't going to be as strong.
And because I don't watch that, I've been watching all kinds of other stuff. And you know what I started watching a couple days ago? That you had recommended to me.
Oh, wait. Justified.
No.
Okay, wait.
It was before that you recommended it to me. It was quite a while ago.
It was a series?
It's a little sci-fi. Yeah, it's a series.
A little sci-fi? Are you talking about the 4400?
Yeah, I'm about 4 episodes in. Wow. It's not bad. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, dude. I thought that was a fucking awesome show.
It's pretty good. I
thought the way it made you think.
Yeah.
Like, about how... You know, it stretched my way of thinking.
And I'm sure that there's some enlightenment and, like, stuff at the end. But right now, I'm, like, 3 or 4 episodes in, and everybody's just kind of, they're starting to just build the characters, you know.
Yeah, but they're so well-developed,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I like it.
You know, and it's worth watching. I thought it was a hidden gem. I couldn't believe that it had flown under the radar, you know, as far as sci-fi goes, because... You know, sci-fi can give me, either or. Some I like some sci-fi and some, you know, I'm not big into the Star Trek or...
Yeah.
Or like Babylon 5.
But the storyline and the characterization like the almost reminds me of like a Stephen King novel.
Yeah.
The way they have those powers.
Yeah. And it is Spielberg produced, I think.
Yeah, could be. I didn't really... I just looked at who wrote it and who produced it, and I was like, I don't know these people's names.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, it's pretty good, and it's on Netflix, so if anybody wants to check out the 4400.
Four seasons, right?
A bunch of people just disappeared, 4,400 people, and then they get dumped back onto the...
Different times.
Yeah.
Like, throughout history, 4,400 people have disappeared, and just one day they all just show up at the same place.
That one guy was only gone for like 18 months.
Yeah, and some for years. And,
super vigilante Carl.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't there a black guy, but he like... got zapped up in the 50s, right?
Yeah, he was
in
the
Korean
War.
Back and it was like...
Fell in love with his girlfriend's granddaughter.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like back then he was with a white woman and it was a big deal in the 50s, you know? I mean...
They shamed him for that.
Yeah, and then, you know, he gets zapped into the 2000s and adjusting to that kind of culture shock would be...
And they're walking through the park, and he's like, God, those guys are just making out?
Yeah.
And she's like, are you telling me you didn't make out in the 50s? He's like, yeah, in a parked car up on the hill, you know, not in the park. And she grabbed him and started kissing him. He's
like, yeah.
He's probably wondering, oh, is it okay for this black guy to be kissing this white woman in public? Are they going to lynch me?
Yeah. Yeah, you know. It is cool, and a lot of the characters are very well acted. And then
one guy that just came in, as far as I've watched, is that guy that threw that big party. He's got the beard, and he was only gone for a
Jordan
short period.
Collier?
Yeah. I'm wondering what's going on with him.
Jordan
so.
Collier.
So we'll talk about that in the next few episodes,
I might
next
even,
couple weeks.
Revisit it. Cause
is it three seasons, you
four,
say?
Four, I think.
Oh, four,
but
okay.
I remember it. Maybe it was meant to be four. I think they cut it a season short.
Ah.
But I do remember it not being like a... It wasn't a lame ending.
It wasn't,
you know,
a lame
like
ending.
You know, some shows get cut short, and then I won't watch it if, like, you know, it doesn't resolve.
Right.
You know, I thought another one that resolved well that was cut short was Carnival.
Ah.
You know, I would have loved to have seen more of those. That was a great HBO.
I didn't watch that. I've never seen it.
Two seasons. But it was too expensive. It was one of those where it was like $1 million an episode or more or something like that.
Ooh.
Because it was out in the middle of nowhere and you had to, you know, the whole set was a carnival.
Right.
And so, you know, you had all the tents and the Ferris wheel and the lights and then the makeshift trailers, that all that old stuff like that. And then you got the actors like the bearded woman and the two-headed man, and I don't know if that's... They had a two-headed man.
They had all kinds of weird shit like that.
They did, yeah.
I might check that out sometime if it's available to watch.
It's cool. It's got a good villain in it, and it does well with the good versus evil thing.
Right on. Well...
What's that guy's name that plays that villain? He plays a great villain. He's a villain in everything. You know what I'm saying? One of those guys?
Yeah. I was kind of surprised to see Peter Coyote in the 4400.
Peter Coyote?
Yeah, you don't know Peter Coyote?
Remind me.
He's the guy that's the main Homeland Security guy, that's the boss of the guy and the chick that are working together to, you know, the guy.
Clancy Brown, that's who I'm thinking of.
Oh.
You know that guy?
No, I would probably know him if I saw him.
No, we're talking about two people and neither of the other ones know or you know what we're talking about.
You're like, you mean right. David Keith or Keith David?
There's Clancy Brown.
Okay, I've seen him.
He's a villainous dude.
Yeah, he is.
And then I'm going to look up who?
Peter Coyote.
Peter Coyote, I know
You've
the name.
Seen him in
because he's
a
coyote
stuff.
Man.
I think he was in a lot of like Law and Order type shit.
Oh.
Or movies like. I don't think he was in Law and Order, but he was on
Peter
shows.
Peter Coyote, like, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
He's the main guy there. At right. the
Speaking of Peter Coyote, and is he in the new RoboCop?
I don't know.
You gonna go and watch that in the new RoboCop?
I doubt it.
What do you think about that? They're doing the new RoboCop.
I never really got into the RoboCop.
What?
Before. No. I was already into other stuff. I wasn't
Who's
watching
RoboCop.
I know. I should have been into it because I'm kind of Robo.
Pew 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 pew. It was a pretty big action movie for its day. I remember watching it. Peter Weller.
Uh huh. Yeah,
who went on to host that that History Channel show? Who's going all over the world, like ancient wonders and shit like that, and visiting the pyramids and early Egypt shit? And I'm like,
Who are
you're
you?
You're weird, Peter Weller.
Yeah, why are you doing this?
You were in Naked Lunch, too, when flying typewriters were attacking you because you were on some weird trip.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Dude, that was a fucking... that's a trippy movie up there with Mulholland Drive, I think.
Yeah. I recently rewatched a documentary about Bill Hicks and made me want to take mushrooms. Trip out. Mm. Want to do that on the episode one time?
Sure.
We'll take some episodes and just go... Bark, 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 bark,
yeah.
Bark. All right, well, I got to piss, and we're just about done with this episode, so I'm going to go into some of this bullshit. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go get some of that pretty soon, and go to Amazon through our tagcastpodcast.com website. Click on the Amazon banner. Do some shopping.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I know. You got to go buy something for somebody. It's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Go to terrygal.com. Check that out. I got some shows coming up. This Friday, if it's not tonight, it's tomorrow, because I don't know if we're airing this Thursday or Friday, but the comedy show is happening at the Brownsville Saloon. So Valentine's Day, come out to that.
Yeah, I heard Brownsville, no, don't be no dancing over there.
We'll talk about that maybe on the next show. Yeah, it was a little footloosey, I thought, when I read it, and I didn't know. No man and woman should be dancing. No teacher should be... You know, at a dance where man and woman are dancing.
Oh, I got breaking news.
Oh, no. Da, da, da. What is it?
A 48-year-old woman in Taiwan had a live fruit fly larva nestled in her hearing aid. Beneath her hearing aid in her ear.
Shit. So then what happens?
I don't know.
Huh.
It eroded her ear canal.
That's crazy, dude.
Yep. The larva was still alive in the ear while the patient was visiting our emergency department, Changping said.
Changping?
The bug likely came from the patient's home where fruit flies often gather around produce kept in the open rather than refrigerated, Changping said.
Changping said!
The patient's ears was relatively warmer than the environment, perhaps providing a cozy nest.
Wow.
Doctors removed the larva easily and treated the woman with an antibiotic ointment, but not before recording a video of the unwanted guest.
Wow.
Ooh, yeah.
That's pretty gross, huh?
Yeah. Most cases of animals in the ear canal are the flying objects. Most cases of animals in the ear canal are the flying objects and cockroaches. Changping wrote.
Changping said!
Which doesn't even... It's... Yeah, I don't... I believe that would be unusual for fruit.
I had a moth in my ear once. We talked about that on a previous episode, and I hope that never happens again. And that was also a question on Family Feud. What bug would you most not want in your ear? Or something weird like that. But anyway, I gotta go take a piss. So you guys, thanks for listening, and we're glad to be back, and we're glad that you're still there listening to us. I couldn't download Floyd's song properly. He sent me a longer loop of his song, so I just put some Sabbath on to round us out. You guys have a good weekend. I hope you see you Friday at the Brownsville Saloon.
Heck yeah. Rock on.
Later, metal. Plugs. Whoa. Hey, Taggots. What's up? Are you ready to go enjoy yourself out in the public? I hope so, because I got some stuff you can go do. There's a bunch of open mics every week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all around. I've told you enough about those. Just go seek them out and do some comedy. Got some comedy shows coming up. February 14th, it's the He and She Comedy Show Valentine's Day Special at the Brownsville Saloon with Doug and Teresa Wyckoff. I'll be featuring for them. My name is Terry Guile. It's at 419 Main Street in Brownsville, and it's a free show. We'll be asking for a suggested donation, but whatever you can afford is cool. Even if it's nothing, just come out and laugh with us. February 22nd, it's Bleepin' Funny at Sam Bond's Garage with Leanne Joshua and the regular crew of people down there. February 26th, I'll be at the Mill Casino for the comedy night there in Coos Bay. I'll be doing two sets at 7 and 9:30. February 28th, it's the Grand Slam Comedy Show number 4. We're still doing that at Denny's. We don't care if we have a fist fight. We'll be there. I think we got Isaac Paris and Daniel Caceres coming up from Eugene. And then March 2nd, we got Bill Cosby at the Holt Center, but it's an early show, 2 o'clock. Hope you're ready for an early show. It's probably on a Sunday, too. Who knows? Anyway, April 21st, it's the fourth annual Doug Benson 420 show at the Wow Hall in Eugene. It's always a day late, which is awesome. And that's it for comedy shows right now. That
that's
I can
crazy because he can only do one show that day pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. The 420, he must do something in Portland probably. All right, we got some music shows coming up Saturday, February 22nd. It's Catechus, Flesh, and Bikini at the Front Street Bar and Grill. February 23rd, it's Pentagram, Radio Moscow, and King's Destroy at the Hawthorne Theater. Tickets are $20 and $25. Death Angel is coming to the Hawthorne Theater with Kingdom Under Fire. Tickets are $16 and $20. The 17th of March, it's The Sword and Big Business with Oh Brother at the Hawthorne Theater, $20 and $25. Carcass, Black Dahlia Murder, Gore Guts, and Noisem are coming to Hawthorne Theater on Sunday, March 30th. Tickets are $25 and $28. The Loudness concert got canceled. Their whole American tour got canceled, so Loudness must have lost their visas or something. Unfortunately, they're not going to be coming. Jason Moser's band was going to open for those guys, but he didn't get to because they canceled. What else we got? April 15th, newly announced, is Queens of the Stone Age at a shitty place in Portland called the Keller Auditorium. That's just my opinion, but it's like a theater, and I don't think that's very cool. But that's just my opinion, like I said. Tickets are $25 and $40, something weird like that. $40, $45, I don't know. I lost my shit. Also coming is Mastodon to the Roseland Theater in April. You have to go online and check out information on that because I had my stuff all ready to go here. It's not coming up. It's lame. Where'd they go, dude? Okay, May 3rd, Nile, Seasons of Suffering, and World of Lies will be at the Hawthorne Theater. Tickets are $13.50 and $15. And like I said, Queens of the Stone Age is coming. Mastodon's coming. Lots of good shows coming up, so get out there and do some fun stuff. We also have the Oregon's Last Comedian Standing competition coming at the beginning of March. I'll be at Riley's here in Albany on March 7th for the preliminaries on that. And stay tuned for more information because that's coming up. They're going to crown the funniest person in Oregon, so second year in a row. All right, thanks for listening, you guys. Get out there and go to some shows. Enjoy yourself, and then come back and listen to the Tagcast podcast, a.k.a. Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.